God bless you, Leanne. Wonderfully played, wonderfully sung. Great message. I haven't heard that in a long time, but I like it. It's good. Very appropriate, very appropriate. Well, I want to begin this morning. If you have your Bible, first of all, open to Ruth chapter 2. We'll look at those three verses, Ruth 20, 21, and 22 today. Ruth 2, 20 through 22. But I thought I would take just a couple of minutes to share about our graduates, even though they'll be recognized in person in the second service. I think it's good for us to know who they are, they're part of our family, and where they're going. So as you're turning to Ruth 2:20, a message really kind of focused for graduates, but it applies to all of us here this morning. And the message will be entitled, When Far Away, Stay Close. When far away, stay close. Our graduates this morning are Laura Burse. Parents are Jeff and Katrina Burse. The school she's attending is Polk State Collegiate High School. I think that's where she's graduated. There we go. Graduated Polk State Collegiate. Had a GPA of 4.72. She was the class salutatorian. Missed it by Miss Valedictorian by a hundredth of a percent. Hundredth of a point, hundredth of a percent. Can you believe that? Anyway, she graduated with her AA and Bachelor of Applied Studies degrees, and she plans to attend the University of Florida, graduate of Journalism and Communication. So she has attended Polk Collegiate School. I better get that right or I'll be in trouble. Nathan Calvary, parents are Jeff and Heather Calvary. He too graduated from Polk State Collegiate High School with a GPA of 4.63. My goodness. He is graduating with his AA degree, voted best dressed and class clown. He will be attending Florida Southern College this fall. Good for him. God bless him. Logan McGill, parents are Mike and Kathleen McGill. He graduated from Mulberry High School, GPA 3.2. That's still good. Very good. Certified in Autodesk and Photoshop. Future plans are work in college. Elise Roberts, Brother Adam's daughter. And I think it's interesting, the first time I think that they came to Scott Lake, I think Elise had just been born. So that kind of gives you an idea. Parents, Adam and Kimberly Roberts, she's graduating from McKeel Academy of Technology with a GPA of 3.99. My goodness. Graduating with her AA degree. Future plans, she's attending Southeastern University for a degree in business and drafting starting this fall. And then Abigail Watson, parents are Heather and Helen and Alan Anthony Watson. She's graduating from Parkway Christian School. Brother Adam was not able to get the GPA that she had, but she was named Student of the Year, and that's a big deal. And she plans to go to beauty school, and that's important. So we pray God's blessing for her and pray for God's blessing on all these graduates. And so let's read our passage, and as I pray for our text, I'll pray for these young ladies and men. Verse 20 again, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, This man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, Furthermore, he said to me, You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Notice those words. You should stay close. She's far away from home. But Boaz, picturing Jesus, wisely said, You need to stay close. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It's good, my daughter, that you go out with her maids, his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field. And we'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we want to begin this morning thanking you for the privilege of studying your word together. We pray your blessing on these graduates. Help them, Lord, wherever they go, far away or near, in town or out of town, that they would all stay close to you. And Lord, I pray these words would fall on receptive hearts here in this early service as well, as we realize that as your children, regardless of our age or whether or not we've graduated, whatever our circumstance, we need to stay close, near or far, stay close. In Jesus' name, amen. It's when you're far away from home and family and the familiar surroundings of church and fellow believers, you need to stay close to your Redeemer. Apollo 8 was the first manned mission to orbit the moon in 1968. Three-man crew of Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, of Apollo 13 fame, played by, of course, Tom Hanks, and William Anders were the first humans to see in person the dark side of the moon. And on Christmas Eve, they'd be the first to witness an Earth rise as the Earth rose over the moon's horizon. On that Christmas Eve, the crew was told by NASA, just do something appropriate for the moment. So all three astronauts read to the people on Earth, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Each astronaut taking a few verses, and then the next astronaut taking a few more verses, till they read all of chapter 1, broadcasting it to the United States and the world. Borman signed off saying, good night, good luck, and Merry Christmas. God bless all of you on the good earth. After which famed atheist Madeleine Murray O'Hare filed suit against NASA. But the case was thrown out by the Supreme Court. Thrown out based on the lack of jurisdiction. I love that. Lack of jurisdiction. Buzz Aldrin was elder at his Presbyterian church in Texas, and knowing he'd soon be doing something unprecedented in human history, as he and Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, Aldrin felt that he should mark the occasion when they landed on the moon in a special way. So with his pastor's blessing, he took some communion bread and juice to the surface of the moon. And before they suited up to even exit the lunar module on the moon, Aldrin said, I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and give thanks in his or her own way. And then he stopped broadcasting. And there in the spacecraft on the moon, he read John 15:5 out loud, where Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Then Aldrin took his communion bread and juice and in his own words, gave thanks that God had brought these two young pilots to the Sea of Tranquility. It's amazing fact. The first food eaten on the surface of the moon was bread picturing Christ's body. The first liquid poured from the surface of the moon was grape juice picturing Christ's blood. And the first words read from the surface of the moon were John 15:5, where Jesus said, He was the vine and we are the branches, and apart from Him we can do nothing. And then finally there's Jim Irwin, who admitted in his book To Rule the Night, I have a signed copy, he made his profession of faith in Christ at Newport Richey, Florida. But on the surface of the moon, he said, I sense God's presence in such a powerful way. I quoted Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When Jim got back to earth from the moon, he wrote that book To Rule the Night. And he said it is his experience of being so close to God on the surface of the moon had such a profound impact on his life, he realized he hadn't been as close to the Lord as he needed to be. And so as an adult astronaut, post-moon, he went forward at the invitation of the Nassau Bay Baptist Church in 1971, where our own David Fannin was pastor for 27, 28 years. In 1971, Bill Rittenhouse was pastor. And astronaut Jim Irwin told Pastor Rittenhouse, I need to be close to the Lord. I've never been baptized. And so Jim Irwin, one of the two astronauts to ride the lunar rover on the moon for the first time, was baptized at Nassau Bay Baptist Church because he sensed God's presence on the moon in such a powerful way. What do the three experiences of these NASA astronauts prove? They not only prove you can experience God's presence when you're far away from friends and family, but you should experience God's presence when you're far away from friends and family. When you're far away, you should stay close. And that's true for all believers, but especially for our graduates we'll recognize this morning. Why should every believer stay close to the Lord, regardless of whether they're near or far? Three reasons. Number one, blessings are for the close. Blessings are for the close. Verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, May he be blessed to the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. And again, Naomi said to her, this man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives. Now, you know the story. When Ruth's husband died, she returned to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi suggested that Ruth work in the field of whoever's eyes she found favor. And that happened to be a relative of Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech. Jewish tradition says Boaz was Elimelech's nephew. Now, we don't know that for sure, but there's two facts we do know. Number one, Ruth was blessed While she was near Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, Boaz pictures Jesus, our redeemer, and if we want to be blessed, we need to stay near to him wherever we are. In chapter 2, Boaz promised her security. Boaz said, "I've commanded my servants not to touch you." 2:14, Ruth received the same food Boaz, the landowner, had. She was allowed to eat the roasted grain until she was full. Boaz's workers were told to leave her bundles of grain as they reaped, and she would pick up as much food as she could carry. Verse 17 says it was an ephah of barley. Josephus said an ephah is a bath of grain, and Josephus wrote a bath of grain was 36 liters of grain, and that's 10 gallons of grain. Ruth returned from her first day on the job with 10 gallons of grain. Now, mentally picture a 10-gallon aquarium and fill that thing corner to corner to the very brim with grain. That's enough to feed 15, 20 hungry people. And consider that she had had that much after she had already eaten lunch. So you can see how blessed she was as she stayed in the field of Boaz. No wonder when Naomi saw her dragging in this huge sack of grain, she said, "Where did you gather all that grain? Where did you work? May God bless the one who helped you." And so she told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked, named Boaz, telling us Naomi did not know which field she worked that day, but it was obvious wherever she worked, somebody had been really good to her and helped her. In verse 20, Naomi revealed Boaz was not just a relative, she was a close relative, the closest, one of the closest. Leviticus 25 said if a fellow Jew became so poor they had to sell part of their property, the nearest kinsman would come and buy back what the relative had sold. And obviously when the famine hit, Elimelech had to sell all or part of the land that he owned. So some close male family member needed to buy it back. Number two, if a male family member, if a male brother died with no children, his living brother and closest male relative of childbearing age was responsible to have children by the widow so the brother's line would not die out. Chapters 3 and 4 tell us about a closer male relative willing to buy the land but not willing to buy Ruth because it would mess up his own kid's inheritance. Long story short, Boaz was willing to redeem Elimelech's property and family line by marrying Ruth. What I want you to see is this. As long as Ruth was close to Boaz, she was blessed. But when she wasn't close to Boaz, she wasn't blessed. An idolatrous Moab, she wasn't blessed. When she and Naomi walked to Bethlehem, she wasn't yet blessed. In fact, 1:19 says, the city was stirred and said, "Is this Naomi? My goodness, look at her. It certainly doesn't look like she looked. And who's this pagan Moabite walking with her?" Having the city talk about you in a bad way is not really what you want to think of as being blessed. Chapter 2 opens with Ruth and Naomi both being hungry, and there's little to no food. But the very moment she steps onto Boaz's field, it's like the sun starts shining and the blessings start pouring like the rain. As Boaz says, "Don't go anywhere else. You stay with my maids. I'll take care of you." And so, believer, I hope you see the message here. You might be in a strange land or heading to a strange land far from home, but as long as you stay close to your Redeemer, you'll be blessed. Maybe not driving the best car, wearing the best clothes, working the best job, but realize Ruth had no nice car, no nice clothes, no great job. She was picking up leftover grain in a hot field. That's like picking strawberries or blueberries or cotton. Not a great job. But despite being far away from home, her life changed for the better when she met and stayed close to her Redeemer. And for you, believer, and our graduates, it will as well. Whether you're going off to college or staying home or commuting to college or simply going to work a job, like Ruth, your blessings are tied to a close relationship with your Redeemer, period. If you've seen the movie Chariots of Fire, you know the story of Eric Liddell. He refused to run in the 100-meter race because it was held on Sunday. So he trained and ran in the 400-meter race that was not on Sunday, and he won the gold. In fact, he set an Olympic and world record. His life verse was 1 Samuel 2:30. God said, "Those who honor me, I will honor." He went on to be a missionary in China. But what needs to be remembered about Eric Liddell was really his story starts in Edinburgh, University of Edinburgh, where he regularly shared the gospel for the Glasgow Students' Union. And Liddell and a few other students would go out into neighborhoods and share the gospel, and Liddell would preach the gospel. He was the speaker. Fellow runner Dunkey Wright said he was without a doubt the most glorious runner I've ever seen. He was of high moral Christian character. He was living and living his life and running for the glory of God. And because he stayed close to God in college and after college and all of his life, God blessed him. Eric Liddell and Ruth had a common experience. They were both blessed as they both stayed close to the Redeemer, though far away. And so, Christian, this is the commitment we need to make, that every day in the rest of our lives, regardless of how far life takes us, regardless of where life takes us, we need to stay close to our Redeemer. Don't go back to the old way of life. Stay far from Moab. Stay close to the Lord and His people. In fact, resolve you'll draw closer to the Lord and His people because you realize there's no blessings for anyone if they're far away from the Lord and His people. Had Ruth gone back to Moab, she would have starved and fallen into the old lifestyle. She would have felt at home, but she would have been without the old friends. But she would not have had much future, and she would not have grown in her faith. She had to stay close to be blessed. And so don't ever imagine God will bless you if you're not close to the Lord. Whether going away to college or going back to work, blessings are for the close. Stay close to the Redeemer, or you'll not be blessed. Number two, stay close to the Redeemer so that your work can be completed. So your work can be completed. Verse 21. Then Ruth the Moabite said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they finished all my harvest.'" This phrase, "stay close to me and my servants until the work is done," meant stay till the harvest was finished. Stay until the work is done. Here's a paraphrase for all believers, certainly graduates. Stay near the Lord so you can complete your work and not get sidetracked by lesser things. Now, what I'm going to say to our graduates and really to us as well makes me sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but I'm going to say it anyway. And they're not going to like this. You don't go to college to have fun. You go to college to get work done. You go to college to get work done so you can learn and graduate and get a job. Now, you need to stay plugged into a Bible-believing church with Bible-believing believers your own age while there, but college is not about having fun. It's about getting work done. I love that scene in the film Remember the Titans when Coach Boone, played by Denzel Washington, first met the team in the gym. Remember that scene? I love the scene. One of the players had his hands raised up as Coach Boone started talking, and the dialogue between Boone and the player went like this. He said, "Put your hand down. You're smiling." "Yes, yes, sir. Why are you smiling?" "Because I love football. Football's fun." "Fun, sir? It's fun." "You sure?" "I think." "Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you're thinking. You think football's still fun?" "Yes, sir." "No, sir. It was fun. Not anymore, though, is it?" "Not fun anymore. Not even a little bit." "No, make up your mind. Think since you're thinking. Go on. Think. Is it fun?" "No, sir. Absolutely not. Zero fun, sir." "All right. Listen up." He said, "I'm Coach Boone. I'm going to tell you about how much fun you're going to have this season." I love that. I love that. However, I'm going to tell our graduates this. Rewind the scene and substitute for football the word college. To get the right attitude a believer needs to have when they go to college. So we can graduate, get a job, go to work. Imagine on your first day of class, you're so excited, I'll tell them to be there, and they raise their hand to ask the professor a question. And imagine that professor says, "Put your hand down. You're smiling." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why are you smiling?" "Because I love college. College is fun." "Fun? It's fun? You sure?" "I think." "Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you're thinking. You think college is still fun?" "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Well, it was fun. Not anymore." "No, not now. Not fun anymore. Not even a little bit. Make up your mind. Think since you're thinking. Go on. Think. Is it fun?" "No, sir. Absolutely not. Zero fun, sir." All right, listen up, because you need to know college is not about having fun. College is about getting work done so you can graduate and get a job. Boom. There it is. That sounds harsh, but for Ruth, the issue was not about having fun in the field. You agree? For Ruth, the issue was not about having fun in the field or partying in the field or joining a sorority in the field or attending a keg party in the field. And every Baptist said, "Amen, that's awful weak. I don't know about that." The issue was getting work done in the field. And as long as she stayed close to the Redeemer, she would get her work done in the field. But the moment she sought other things and prioritized other fields was the moment she would leave the Redeemer and her work would begin to suffer. Well, this is not just about graduates. This is about us too. Whether you're heading to college or simply heading back to work, whatever you do will be better and you will be more successful. You will be if you'll resolve to stay, what's that word? Close to the Lord. Boaz had one command for Ruth, as the Lord has one for us. Stay close to my servants till they're finished, all my harvest. Paraphrase, stay close to Jesus and his people until your work is done, and so your work can be done, because if you don't stay close to the Lord, it probably won't get done, and you'll only waste your time, and for graduates, I get to say this, and your parents' money. So believer, graduate, when you're far away, stay close to the Redeemer. Blessings are for the close. Stay close so your work can be completed. That's true. Whether you're going to college, been there, done that, or going back to work, stay close to the Lord so your work can be completed. Number three, stay close to the Lord so you won't experience catastrophe. Catastrophe. 22, verse 22. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter-in-law, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field. As long as Ruth stayed near Boaz's maids, hence near Boaz, there was safety and protection from those who might molest her and attack her in the fields and do bad things to her or try to do bad things to her. But as long as Ruth stayed with Boaz's maids and Boaz's people, and near Boaz, there was safety and protection. And Christian, for us as well, and certainly our graduates, as long as we stay near our Redeemer and his people and stay plugged in to the Lord and his people, we'll escape a lot of the pain and heartache and disaster and catastrophe that those who aren't near the Redeemer will probably experience. According to the research group American Addiction Centers, studies show that 80% of college students consume alcohol, 80%. That means if our graduates and we resolve we're not going to drink, we're going to be looked at as being weird. Be weird for Jesus. I'm weird for Jesus. I love it. They said half of college students binge drink. Half. If you're part of the half that doesn't drink, and certainly the half that doesn't binge drink, you'll be uncool. Be uncool for Jesus. I knew I've always been uncool. 76% of Washington University students, 76%. Are or have been sexually active. 76, that's over three-fourths. If you're part of the 24% that's not sexually active outside of marriage and being immoral, man, be pure for the glory of God. Be odd for Jesus. Walk with Jesus near or far. That'll keep you from having a lot of the traumatic, bad, painful things that those who don't walk with Jesus can and often do experience. And so all of us here today, and our graduates as well, they have to decide before they leave whether or not they'll be a committed follower of Christ and how closely to Jesus they will be when they leave this place. That's what the eighth man on the moon, astronaut James Irwin, resolved to be. The year after he was baptized at Nassau Bay Baptist, after he came back from the moon, he was baptized. He started an organization called High Flight, to help students realize that real science supports creation and not evolution. For the next 19 years of Jim's life, he told audiences that Jesus' walking on the earth was far more important than man's walking on the moon. And he could say it and know it to be true. He told his audiences his experience on the moon made God's presence so powerfully and incredibly real in his life. He told audiences that God created everything with apparent age. And on the third day, God created fully grown fruit trees. On the sixth day, he created fully grown man, Adam and Eve, fully grown. James Irwin led expeditions up Mount Ararat in search of Noah's Ark. He never found it, but he believed it was there because he believed God's word. And this saved, passionate, committed astronaut who stayed close to Jesus far and near told others about God's mercy and grace and how they could experience his presence as well. And God blessed him in a powerful way because like Ruth, he stayed close to his Redeemer. And dear friend, for our graduates as well, God will do the same for us if we stay close to the Lord. Do it because blessings are for the close. Do it so that work can be completed. And do it so you won't experience catastrophes cataclysmic, terrible things in your life. And do it so your prayer and song can be, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to thee. And I hope that's true for all of us here in this 8 o'clock service as well. Join me as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the awesome privilege of walking with you, of knowing you, because we have a Redeemer, one who redeemed us, paid a price we could never pay, to have a relationship we could never have with you. Thank you that Jesus paid it all. And Lord, I pray if there's one this morning has a commitment that needs to be made or a decision that needs to be made public, that you'll give them the courage to make this decision right now. God, once again, we do pray for all of our graduates as they leave. We pray that they would be committed to you while they're far away. And Lord, help us here in Lakeland as we do the same. Bless us, Lord. We pray that you'll guide us in every way we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What an appropriate hymn today to sing, 285, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. And I hope that's true in your life as well. I'll be standing at the front. If you have a decision you need to make as we begin to sing, they encourage you to come right on. Don't wait, all right? Let's stand and sing, 285. You come if you need to respond.